Robert has been around for eons. He's a wily young veteran when it comes to advertising, marketing, and communications.
Boy, do I feel old now. Thanks, Tony.
But you're looking great.
Oh, well, thanks. As long as I look good on radio.
Well, let's talk about that. We're going to talk about some of your personal experiences with that. But as someone who was around when that happened, as you were the spokesperson for the airport, talk about what happened that day at the airport, how things changed from then to now.
Well, it was interesting because I was watching, like so many other people, the World Trade Center burn. And it was obviously in the morning. I had an appointment, actually, with a travel agent to help them do some of their own promotion. And as I was left the building and was on the way, I got the call from the airport that the aviation system in America was really starting to shut down. All the planes were being pulled down out of the sky. That had never been done before. So by the time I reached the airport, we were in the process of getting planes diverted from other airports to Lansing. Everything was shutting down, and by 11 o'clock that occurred. I had mentioned some time ago, you know, I remember as the aviation system was shutting down and we were on a high security alert, one of the first things that occurs is that the folks at the airport pick up all the trash cans, because if there is a terrorist attack or something, you don't want people to dump off a bomb in a trash can. Just one of those operative things that they're done. And one of our officers was in the bathroom and picked up a carpet cutter. Sometimes people ditch weapons before they get on a plane, and there wasn't a whole lot of security or the security level at the current time. But I just remember that as a moment. And a couple days later, when they said that the terrorists had entered the system through a small airport and gotten on their plane, that was one of the crashes that day, they used a carpet cutter as a weapon. And it was just kind of a chilling moment. Since then, we had 9 airlines at the airport flying to and from Lansing. Today, there really are only 2, Delta and United. Others have collapsed in bankruptcy or merger. And we have a lot less service today. More security, less service, fewer people traveling overall. Some of that has come back over the years. But I think small airports have really been affected, like Lansing.
Bob, I can remember I used to travel to Cancun quite frequently, and I can remember just needing my driver's license as identification. When you left out of Lansing, you could just hop right on the plane. It was just a breeze. And after 9/11 occurred, not only do you need a passport and a ton of ID, but the process to get through customs and to get through security, it takes a lot more time, definitely.
Absolutely. But, you know, people don't mind it. They really appreciate having more security getting through to know that they're safe. And I think what it does make us realize is that maybe how lax we were in America. You know, in other countries, security was at a much higher level. You talk about Mexico or Cancun. I traveled in Europe and overseas, and it's not unusual to see a guard with a machine gun standing at a check-in security post. And obviously, we've expanded security greatly. TSA was a new created department, and they've done a great job. Security has improved compared to what it had been at the Lansing Airport, but it's improved throughout the system, and it's cost a lot of money.
And I know that that's my next question, with the high costs of that equipment, and I know more equipment is being implemented. How is the airport here in Lansing handling that?
Well, we did get federal grants like other airports, but since our traffic wasn't as great, we didn't get really everything that we wanted to really provide a high level of security. We do. The bad thing is that it was also more costly for people to travel, and if costs go up and the desire for travel goes down, it hurts the entire aviation industry. Most of the big airports have survived and traffic is back, but for smaller airports who really relied on a lot of competitive low-fare service, a lot of that's gone away, and Lansing suffered, and I think our local economy has suffered because of it.
Do you know of any security concerns since 9/11 that have occurred at the airport? Maybe they were false alarms. Maybe they were situations where people had to be carried off planes. Can you recall any in the last 9 years?
Oh, yes. It's not an unusual practice to have some sort of security alert. Most people don't know that when they go to a place like an airport, we have our own police force. We have our own fire department at the airport. And when you go in, you may not see them, but you're on cameras everywhere. You can't really get away from that. And that's part of the upgrade in security that we have. And actually, people feel pretty good about that. An airport is a pretty safe place today. When right after 9/11 changed, remember, we had a bunch of short-term things that were done, including putting police officers out on the boulevard. You couldn't even get near the terminal before we checked your bags. That was kind of a new development. That's kind of relaxed a little and gone away. Now we x-ray every piece of baggage that comes in. We physically search hand baggage. So all of those things are more secure. We still have incidences of people. You know, right now, Tony, we have more people on fewer flights with less seats available. So people get a little ticked when they fly in a cramped plane. And before, you know, you could get on a plane and maybe it was half full and you could bump on another plane someplace. And that stuff really doesn't happen anymore just because of how aviation changed tremendously after 9/11.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Bob Colt from Colt Communications. He's the spokesperson for the Capital Region International Airport. Has the training for the fire and police departments at the airport changed? And how often do those folks work on their techniques and ways and means on how to handle situations?
Oh, absolutely. We have a well-trained police and fire department, and they are really crash rescue oriented, and our police officers, who are also trained as firemen, are really a normal police force with all of those powers. A lot of people don't really consider that the separate security force is TSA and Transportation Security Administration, and they are the folks checking you through, checking your baggage, really assisting airlines and making sure that their security is all good. So there's more training, there are more people, there's more of an investment. All of that costs a tremendous amount of money, but we made the decision after 9/11 to make that investment.
All right, Bob, one more question for you. When we were talking in preparation for this interview, you told me something I did not know, that the biggest increase in government employees occurred after 9/11.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole new department, TSA. Many of the private security firms, several of them were nationalized. As they went through training, some of those people made it and stayed on as federal employees. Some didn't. But that is the biggest growth in government, is that entire security, and Homeland Security is a large blanket.
All right, Bob. Well, thanks so much. Speaking of the airport, why I just expected to be that more airlines would be out at the airport. Such a great location, central location. I know times are a bit tough, but I know that there was a lot of focus on those nonstop flights, not only south to the Caribbean and Florida, but also over to Vegas. But I just expected that there would be more airlines at the airport.
Well, thanks for the opportunity for the plug, because Sun Country is back in December. Nonstop flights, Lansing to Florida, both Orlando and Fort Myers, and their Vegas flight nonstop is back. It's a great schedule. Tuesday, Thursday, you can go to Vegas for a weekend. We've got nonstop service to Cancun on Apple Vacations and Jamaica. So there are a lot of good things happening at the Capital Region International.
Well, that's a shameless plug, but it's nice and newsy, so we like that. When do those flights start in December?
Started in December, December 22nd. Check the schedule, suncountry.com or applevacations.com. It's really exciting. Those flights are starting to fill now, and you're right. People here in mid-Michigan and throughout the area want to fly, and Lansing's a great airport to do it from.
And, Bob, anything else new and newsy going on in your world with your clients?
Well, You know, it's a political year, and we always watch politics because it affects everything else that happens. And, you know, some people, they hate to see political ads, but I kind of enjoy them. I like to watch the fight sometimes.
Yeah, but do you think folks want to see the negative ads? There's new negative ads now out by Verge Bonero in which Mark Brewer is involved, and they're really taking some shots at Rick Snyder. And do you think voters want to see that?
They don't want to see it, but the research proves that it works. So that's why it's there. And it will affect how people vote. So whether or not folks like it, they're going to see it, and it's going to increase closer toward the election.
Are you affiliated with Verge Bonero or Rick Snyder?
No, not at all. Outside of knowing Verge, obviously from Lansing, great guy, and wish him the best, but I'm not working for either campaign.
All right, good. I can ask you this next question. Take away your personal taste and what you hope for, what you'd like. Who do you see being the next governor for the state of Michigan?
If I were to lay odds in Vegas right now, I would say the final election result is Rick Snyder, 55% of the vote, Verge Bonero, 45%, a 10-point split.
Why do you believe that?
I just think it's going to be difficult for the mayor to overcome a 20-point deficit now. He will close the gap as the election tightens, but it's a long way to go, and there are a lot of other places for people to invest money in Democratic candidates, and it might not be on a long-shot race.
And what needs to be done for business to thrive here in the state of Michigan?
I think you have to make it easier for businesses to hire people. I mean, we need more jobs in this state. We need high-tech knowledge jobs. And so we really want them to thrive, and you've got to make it easy for them to expand. And sometimes that's kind of a difficult decision for executives in this economy.
What can be done to make it easier?
Well, you know, I don't think it's all about tax breaks. I think it's more about the tax system. And we have a Michigan business tax that has to be looked at, workers' health insurance, all of those things have to be lowered in some way to make it available and accessible for business so that they can thrive and now sell business goods and products overseas.
All right, Bob, enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.